Joseph.
He mentioned to the prophet that to remember him, to tell him to Pharaoh about him. However, the prophet forgot until Pharaoh had a dream. That is, Pharaoh, who is a chief governor of the land of Egypt, Pharaoh had a dream. So the prophet remembered that none of the officials in the land of Egypt could interpret the dream.
No. Not. All the officials could interpret the dream.
And the prophet remembered the young man who was in prison interpreted the dream and it came to pass. So spoke to the Pharaoh. Immediately, Pharaoh told his servicemen to get Joseph out of prison. And what did they do? They had to wash. You had to wash, change his clothing. Can you imagine? What a condition. I don't know what that prison was like, but it must have been a dungeon for 3 years. Now Joseph is brought before the Pharaoh. You can picture this young man interpreting Joseph's dream, I mean Pharaoh's dream. The dream was for 7 thin cattle, swallowed 7 fat cattle, and so on. And Joseph interpreted that dream, and he said, too, God can only interpret the dream. And so he did, and he said, there would be 7 years of famine, of plenty, and then 7 years of famine. He suggested, Joseph suggested, to choose a man that was capable of arranging for all the storage of food for 7 years. Of course, Pharaoh began to recognize that who could take the place of Joseph. So Joseph was put in charge. Brother, can you imagine? Out of prison to the next to Pharaoh. What does that suggest to you? Our Lord Jesus put into prison of death, crucified, wherefore God had highly exalted him. Our Lord Jesus is next to the Father. What a beautiful picture. Wherefore God had highly exalted him and given him a name above every name. That at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow, every tongue confess to the glory of God. That's what happened to Joseph. You see the picture. And then, Pharaoh made a parade, and Joseph was given a ring, special clothing, and honor next to Pharaoh. So Joseph gathered the food. I can imagine the activity, building the storehouses. For 7 years of plenty, storehouses everywhere for every good. That was a gigantic task for 7 years. Now, while Joseph was in charge, can you imagine what he was thinking? He knew that there would be 7 years of famine. He was thinking about his family. He knew that they were going to come. So, brother, 2 years in the famine, Joseph noticed 10 brothers coming. I suppose there were many coming from all kind of parts of the country. There were many people. But here he noticed 10 of them coming for food. Of course, Joseph, he's 30 years of age. In a long time, since was it
he was 30 years when he was put on the throne, but seven years, 37, 2 years, 39. He's 39 years of age. He's changed a bit. Probably had a beard, regal clothes. Here comes the Lord. He said to them, ye are spies. Spoke roughly. You come to see what's in the country. You come to spy it. Why did he speak roughly? Because that's what they said to him when he came, when the father Jacob sent him to see what they were, to see the welfare of the brother. They said, you're spying on us. So he was pricking their loin. He didn't mean to be rough, you know, but he was pricking their loin. You're spying. Oh, no, you're not spying. Then Joseph took Simeon and put him into prison. And the next day he said, the brethren, build a banquet server. Now, Joseph didn't speak to them in the Jewish language. It was in the Egyptian language. They didn't know that. But that's one thing we got to remember. When he spoke to the Egyptian. And he probably had an interpreter. You see? Did our Lord Jesus, when he was here, you remember how he spoke? Without a parable, he spake not. Seeing that they might not see, hearing they may not hear. The picture, there's so many beautiful pictures. But I want to concentrate a little deeper as we go on, because it relates to our day. So, the brethren went off back home. It must have taken some time. I don't know how far that is. About 300 miles, I would say. Now you see, it might have taken 3 or 4 weeks with cattle, you see, food on the cattle, walking, staying overnight. It would take time. But Simeon is in prison, and the next morning, Joseph, minister of Egypt, sends them on back. They go back home. And on the way, they stopped, and they noticed the money was in their bag. Joseph put up the money in their bag. And when they arrived to their father, Jacob, they told him what had happened. Simeon is in prison. And Jacob, he was so troubled. He said, Simeon's in prison, Joseph is gone, everything is against me. Everything is against me. Brother, sometimes in life, isn't that true? Sometimes we think, everything is against me. I've got into this trouble, this. But you know, in Jacob's case, it wasn't everything against him. It was everything for him. When you think of the future, what had happened? But at the moment, Jacob, everything is against him. All right. So, but Joseph, when he sent him home, he said that you can't. You can imagine how he wondered whether the father was alive. His brother Benjamin from the same mother. He was concerned. He said, you can't come back unless you bring your brother. Now remember, he spoke an Egyptian language. They didn't know it. So, they came home. I don't know how long it took before the food was gone. Maybe 6 months, maybe more. I don't know. Something in there. Now, brother, let us pause a moment. The first time the brethren went into Egypt, pictures of first advent of Joseph knew them, but they didn't know Joseph. Remember? First advent of Christ? The Jewish people didn't know who he was. But Joseph knew. He knew them all. He knew when they were talking together. But understand that he grew angry. That picture is the first advent. Not all of its detail, but just enough little respect. Although Joseph is on its own, but it illustrates something. Now the food is ran out. And they said to Jacob, "Why, we've got to go again." And Jacob hesitated. He lost one son already. It's Simeon, his brother. Now Benjamin has got to go. Oh, that sort of held back Jacob. He didn't want to let it. Finally, Governor Judah says to his father Jacob that he would be a substitute for Benjamin. He would, if you don't bring Benjamin back, I'll substitute for him. I'll be in prison or whatever. So they sent him on. Now they're coming back into Egypt. What does Joseph do? Through the servant, he tells them that they're going to meet in their palace, in Joseph's home. They're going to have special meal. You can imagine the brothers are going, what's going on? So Joseph has the brethren come in. You could picture Joseph listening to everything they are talking about. You could understand. But they didn't understand yet. Now he places the brethren according to their age around the table. Can you imagine? The older, the younger one, down one after another. I could just picture Joseph listening to what Joseph must have sat all for one side. I suppose an Egyptian. As they were talking, Joseph would listen. Finally, they do. Talk together, and you can imagine Joseph looking at Benjamin. They don't recognize him. Next, Joseph sends him off. But this time, Joseph prepares special food. Not only did the brethren have their bags full of food, but also the cup in Benjamin's bag, some silver cup. So the next morning, they go off. And probably a few miles off, Joseph sent a servant. So when he approaches, they see him. The brother sees there's something wrong. What's wrong? And the servant, I suppose he spoke in Jewish language, who stole the cup? And from the oldest one, they looked in the bag, and the next day down, they found the cup in Benjamin's bag. Now, brother, they're in trouble. Can you picture? Judah, remember, raises a substitute for Benjamin. Now Benjamin is in trouble. And so they come down, come back in to meet Joseph. What an experience that is. And it's so interesting that Joseph could remember, that is, he knew what they were talking about. He knew the situation. And finally, Judah pleads, he pleads for Benjamin. Judah then pleads. Brother, I don't know whether Judah seeks to me. I wouldn't be a bit surprised that Judah actually kneeled down and explained the whole situation, where he said, and Judah came near unto him and said, in the Hebrew language, Joseph could understand it all, pleading with this God. I'll read it because it's quite interesting. And Judah came near unto him and said, O my Lord, let thy servant, I pray thee, speak a word to my Lord's ears, and let not thine anger burn against thy servant, for thou art even as Pharaoh. My Lord asked his servant, saying, Have a father or a brother? And we said unto my Lord, We have a father, an old man, a child of his old age, a little one. And his mother and his brother is dead, and he alone is left, and his mother and his father love him. Judah tells him there's one, and his brother is dead. They didn't know that Joseph was his brother. They thought he was dead, gone. And they said unto my servant, Bring him down unto me, that I may set my eyes upon him. They said unto my Lord, The Lord cannot leave his father. Or if he should love, leave his father, and so on. He bleeds all the way down. True. That is the sentence. For how shall I go up to my father? The lad be not with me. Peradventure, I see the evil that shall come on my father. And Joseph hardly bears. They must have been in a very emotional experience. Joseph then told the Egyptian servant, And Joseph, I can just picture Joseph standing there in those regal clothes, and the brother, a trouble, very troubled. Before we go any further, brother, you remember the Jewish people. They've had their troubles all through the history of mankind. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. They've had their troubles. But what we're referring to is our day. This is the picture of the second advent. The second time they come is a picture of the second advent. When you and I are living in the second advent. Can you picture Joseph as he says to them? They're in trouble. Now we refer to our day, to the Jeremiah, the 30th chapter. It is even the time of Jacob's trouble. Brother, somehow, this is a picture of our day. Second advent, Joseph is going to make himself known. But it seems to me, brother, that the condition in the world today, the Jewish people have had such great trouble, but they're going to have more trouble because it is mentioned. Where is that? Zechariah, 12th chapter. I just want to refer to this. This picture is so beautiful in our day. It seems though that before Jesus is not recognized, that they're going to have trouble. It is the time of Jacob's trouble. I recognize that Israel has had much trouble. Oh, terrible. You know, during the, before 1914, the brethren would say, Israel has had enough of trouble. In 1914, they've had enough of trouble. They were already everything. But the fact is, they were not in the land. It was not till 1948 that they had inherited the land. Now they're there. And it seems to me, brother, just like this brother, Judah pleading, that a time is coming where Israel will be pleading because, as in Jeremiah, even her lover shall leave her. There's a time coming where all the nations may be against Israel. Brother, where will they turn? To whom shall they turn? They've got to, like Judah, they've got to plead. To whom? To the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Where will they turn when all the nations of the world will be against her? And with all the atomic bombs and all the military machines of this world could destroy Israel in one blow. Where will they turn? And so you see the illustration here. And when they turn to the Lord, you will protect them. Marvelous illustration of the second advent. Plead, they've got to plead. God will intervene. Zechariah. Look at the ninth verse, 12th chapter. And it shall come to pass in that day that I will seek to destroy all the nations that come against Jerusalem. Someday it's going to be that day. Divine intervention. Before we go any further, Joseph, can you imagine? Joseph made himself I am Joseph, whom he sold in Egypt. He spoke in the Hebrew language. What a consternation, brother. As a matter of fact, the brethren fell back. They couldn't believe it. Here he made himself known. And there was such a weeping, brother, that the Egyptian servants outside of the house heard. What does that mean? When the time comes, brother, when the Jewish people will recognize divine intervention on their behalf, the whole world will recognize, and they will recognize the Messiah. Somehow. Don't know how, but they will. This is a picture of the second advent. Now, brother, let's go a little further. How is it coming? The brethren are coming back. They've got Benjamin. They've got the food that Joseph has given them. And what else did Joseph give them? 10 donkeys, wagon loads of food. Another 10 food, wagon to food. And then all, everything else that needed. Joseph had already coming back. Now the brethren are coming back. I can imagine, as they near Jacob's home, I can imagine some of them running to tell their father. Joseph was told, Joseph is alive. He didn't believe it. He couldn't believe it. Can't believe it. Because here, for 22 years, he's had this coat. Joseph is supposed to be dead. And here's a lie. You couldn't believe it until he saw the wagon bones coming.
Then
he believed. Son, the nation of Israel, somehow, divine intervention on the behalf of Israel, if all the nations are against her, and it seems quite possible, but I did. And when they prayed to the God of Abraham, then divine intervention. And somehow they will recognize the blessings coming. The divine intervention, the wagon loads of food, and then they'll believe. So, in connection with Israel, as the president mentioned this morning, we can see that there's a crisis in this world, isn't there? Not only with all the Gentile world and all their problems. Also Israel. Of all the nations in the world, brethren, Israel is the most peculiar nation on this planet Earth. And remember that all the promises of God is to the nation of Israel, not to the world. So what is ahead? Is a time of Jacob's trouble? Oh, they've had trouble all my World War II was terrible. I've been in some of those concentration camps, brothers, and the slaughter of people. You cannot imagine until you see it. I must admit, for 2 days, I wasn't myself. It was so shocking. Jewish people, millions, 6 million, I think, were killed. What a terrible slaughter. But they're God's people. Now look at it. Somehow they're going to be protected. And it says here, and it came to pass in that day that I'll seek to destroy all nations that come unto Israel. And I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and supplication, and they shall look upon me whom they have pierced, and they shall mourn for him as one is mourning for his own son, and shall be bitterness for him, as one that is bitterness for his firstborn. There was such a weeping when Joseph made himself known that the Egyptians outside heard it. And so, on a larger scale, when Israel recognizes their Messiah, divine intervention on the behalf of Israel, with the blessings of wagon loads of blessings, whatever, divine intervention, then they'll recognize their Messiah, that Jesus is alive. And there'll be such a weeping, brother, as they're all as if they lost their only son. I remember one time my brother, who had an only son, and he was killed in some auto accident. And the brother said, I know what it is to lose a son. And you can imagine how the Jewish people, for all of these centuries, Abraham, Isaac, speaking about a Messiah coming. And when the Messiah came, they crucified him, and 1900 years of scattered all over the world, and the troubles, and in our day, what they did to Hitler has done to the Jewish people. It's an awful situation. But they still God's people. And this second time the brethren come is an illustration of what's ahead. Some divine intervention on behalf of the nation of Israel. And then, brethren, how wonderful are these illustrations of the times. They point to what we see today. And we see that actually, brethren, the kingdom of Christ is to come through Israel, not through any other nations. Huh? Who Whom did God select of all the nations? Israel, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, all the way down to Jesus, and all the way down to today. Not the Gentile world. I've often said, will this kingdom be established in Poland, or England, or the United States? No. It's going to be established in Israel. And brother, in Isaiah 27:6, this is a good scripture to remember. I will cause them that come out of Jacob. And who's Jacob? Israel shall blossom and bud and fill the face of the earth with fruit. The knowledge of the Lord. Fill the world with fruit. It's through Israel. And brother, it will be such a glad day. Not only that Israel will blossom and bud and fill the earth, this planet earth with fruit, the channel will be through Israel and the ancient worthies. And even Joseph, won't that be surprised? When they come back, when the resurrection of the ancient worthies come back, that will be startling news. And so, all the world will have to come back to Israel. Come, let us go to the mountain of the Lord's house, Isaiah 2:2. And he will teach us of his ways. We'll walk in his path, for out of Zion shall come the law. And the word of the Lord from where? Jerusalem. And incidentally, brother, no human instrument, no human arrangement can ever deliver the world from its troubles. It is only by divine intervention. And so when we read in Revelation, the new Jerusalem coming down from the God of heaven, okay? Coming down means the power will be exerted when Jesus takes over. Beautiful picture. Let us consider these illustrations of Joseph. And this is a picture of the divine plan and purpose of God in connection with Israel. It must come through Israel. No other channel in this planet Earth, no earthly arrangement could ever lift this the condition in which the world is. Then when they said, come, let us go to the mountain of the Lord and to teach it. With the modern conveniences of television and what, it won't take long. And brother, here's something else. Now, I'm not dogmatic on this. The kingdom of Christ will not come gradually. It will come suddenly. Why do I say that? Mark, the 13th chapter. Jesus said, towards the end of that chapter, thus coming suddenly, I find you asleep. And brethren, another thought, why should it come slowly? It will be gradual. Of course, afterwards, after it's established, it'll be gradual. Okay? The coming back of the human family. 1,000 years. But the establishment, stand still and know that I am God. Zephaniah 3:8. For my determination is to gather the nations, to pour upon them my indignation. And incidentally, God is not an angry God like a father against his son. No. The first volume even tells you that. That's only an earthly illustration. And the illustration is that man himself is bringing the trouble upon this world. Because of disobedience. Because of corruption. We often think, how long can this world go on? How long? Oh, brothers, Psalm 74, verses 9 and 10. We see not our sons, neither is there any among us that knoweth how long. How long, O Lord, shall the adversary reproach thy name? Shall he blaspheme thy name forever? Shall spit rain forever? No. The 11th verse is the answer. And before we get that 11th verse, it refers to Moses delivering the children of Israel out of Egypt. And Moses wanted a sign. Remember the three signs? First, he tossed the rod, and it became a serpent. The second one put his hand in his bosom, and it was leprous. Then they were told to put it back in again. Now, fork it out. And the third was the water turned to blood. They all had their significance. But in this verse, the answer to those questions, verses 9 and 10, the answer to that question was, the adversary blaspheme God's name forever? The 11th verse. Why? In other words, Lord, are you holding back? Why are you holding back? Pluck out thy hand, thy right hand, even thy right hand. And who's the right hand? Someone. Our Lord Jesus, sitting on the right hand of God. Pluck out thy right hand and take over. Oh, and there's so many beautiful illustrations here, brother. There's much more here. Like one brother says, in regard to the story of Joseph, it's like you go to pick mushrooms one day, in a certain place, next day you go there and you'll pick some more. There's no limit to this. But anyway, brother, the second time the brethren come for food, Joseph thinks himself known. And we're in that period, in between, somewhere, that they're recognizing Messiah, and then glorious days ahead of restitution of all the families of the earth. And so, I think to me that the suddenness will be established quickly. The New Jerusalem, the power. You remember Jesus appeared to the disciples after he was crucified to strengthen them. And you remember he said, all power in heaven and earth is given unto me. And so our Lord Jesus, all power in heaven and earth is given unto him. Like Joseph had all that power too. Oh, there's many. And even Virgin, even restitution is pictured in Joseph's life. You say, how? People have to buy food. Their money ran out. They gave their cattle. The cattle ran out. They gave their land. The land ran out. Finally, they had to give themselves. Food picture restitution. The whole world would have to give themselves. Yield to it. So many pictures. And so, brother, the Lord bless you and keep you. A special blessing to be here and to see your faces and to speak about things that really matter in our lifetime. And the Lord in his wonderful provision. The Lord give you strength and peace. The Lord bless you greatly. Thank you very much. The Lord bless you.